Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gronk, that jolly joker. Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. I bet Gronk would like to go one-on-one against a defensive lineman.
I think he would. I think he'd do all right.
He'd probably like that matchup.
I think one-on-one against anybody.
Peter King thinks that's what the Jaguars should do with Jalen Ramsey.
I think they should, too. Especially Jalen Ramsey's talking all offseason about how, you know, he struggles against corners. Like, all right, you're one of the best corners in the league. Let's see it. Hopefully Jacksonville allows him to do it. I'll be really disappointed if it's a lot of zone and it's just put him on. He's great. Let's see him back it up. And maybe he'll win more of the matchups. We'll see. But that would be a lot of fun to see those guys one on one for a lot of the game.
Be great for us.
That would be awesome. I don't think Brady would necessarily try to pick on him per se. But
oh, I do.
I don't think
not all day. I think he would very much like to have Gronk score a touchdown against Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, he definitely would.
I mean, like, stupid comment. Obviously, he wants Gronk to score a touchdown anytime.
Going out on a limb there, Dale.
But he
I
would really, really like to have him score one against Jalen Ramsey.
Who was the guy on the Steelers that was talking? Was it Anthony Smith?
Yes, I think that was
Anthony
his name.
Smith. Remember, he was talking trash about us.
And Brady is like, I'm going after you. I'm going after you again.
But that's the problem. It's if you're going to talk trash, you can't be a terrible player. And then if you are, then you're going to get embarrassed. And so I don't think Jalen Ramsey would ever have a game like Anthony Smith did. But he said something about the Patriots, and then it just did not go back. Did he guarantee a win? It might have been as simple as that. I think he guaranteed a win against the Patriots. Just dumb. Back in like the undefeated season, I think.
Yeah.
And Brady's like, okay, all right. Where's Anthony? Let's throw it in.
Oh, there he is.
Run by Anthony. I'll throw it past him. Like every single time. It was great.
See, I think Brady likes to take advantage of opportunities because they don't talk. They don't get to say anything. Look, post game they'll say stuff. As soon as they've won a game, they'll pose. They'll do all sorts of things. I mean,
but even still, it's pretty tame.
Oh, it's not
compared to other teams.
And so they don't get to say stuff. But Brady loves the opportunity, like Anthony Smith,
on the field.
To say, okay, yeah. I can't tell you what I think,
right.
But I'll show you what I think.
I mean, and I'm telling you, you can compare all the Gronk spikes. If he catches a touchdown pass on Jalen Ramsey, he might spike it to the moon. Like it'll be that kind of thing because he's heard every word or somebody told him what was said. Like he's well aware of how Jalen Ramsey feels about Gronk as a football player.
The thing that surprised me a little bit, and Peter, you know, hinted at this as well, they really didn't use him one-on-one against Odell Beckham Jr. much at all.
No, which was odd.
They were playing zone most of the
time.
Yeah,
that was frustrating.
So if you're not going to put him against Odell Beckham Jr. one-on-one,
yeah.
Why are you going to put him against Gronk one-on-one?
I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I mean, they must have thought that. Now, they won the game against the Giants, so maybe they're feeling they did the right thing. But I would just put that guy. That's why you have somebody like Jalen Ramsey. You can put him on Odell Beckham. You can put him on if it's DeAndre Hopkins or whoever you're facing. It's the number one receiver. But with a team like the Patriots, we talked about it last hour, it feels like Jalen Ramsey on Chris Hogan or on Philip Dorsett is kind of a waste. They're certainly not going to do it with Patterson. I don't even know if the other guys are going to be active. So those receivers are kind of a waste. So maybe it'll just end up being zone, and then that's kind of a letdown. But if it's on Gronk, that'll be great. That'll be as good of a matchup, like a one-on-one type of matchup in the NFL as you could find would be Gronk versus Ramsey.
Evidently, by the way, Gronk says Tom Brady's trash talk game is really poor.
Brady's is?
Yes, that Brady does not have a good trash talk game anyway, so he'd rather, you know, just throw it in your face.
Is it as bad as Andrew Luck's? Who's like, hey, nice hit. Hey, good job. Hey, oh, thanks. Remember that whole
it's like
thing?
Tim Tebow.
Oh, Tebow was really good. Tebow did.
But Andrew Luck, you're talking about in the playoff game against Kansas City, was mic'd up, and they scored, like, made a huge comeback. But he every single time he got hit would say, hey, that's a good hit.
Hey, good hit.
You know, bring it more.
You know what? Like that, as a defensive player, that'd probably drive you more nuts. Like, you just think you knock the crap out of this guy. He's like, good job. Hey, that's football. Hey, we're having some fun. Like, no, we're not having fun. I just killed you.
A couple of days ago, my wife and I are watching Fixer Upper again.
Excuse me?
I like Fixer Upper a lot.
Fixer Upper?
Oh, it's my favorite show.
Is that like
show.
A flip
it's my
this house
favorite
type of thing?
Show on HGTV. Unfortunately, Chip and Joanna Gaines are out of the business
is
now.
That a, is that a fact?
Yeah. So anyway.
So what do they
well,
do? They just go to a house and they make it better?
I'm gonna bring it back that
I doubt it, but we can, I'll go down
so
this
road. the other day on Fixer Upper, they showed a rerun of an episode with Tim Tebow.
So you're watching reruns of Fixer Upper?
With Tim Tebow.
Okay.
And
was he got a new, like a bachelor pad?
He's like, no, that's the thing. He was helping them to fix this house up for these two kids in wheelchairs. And,
oh, my God. Of course
excess-
he was.
Oh, I'm
of
telling
course
you,
he was.
You
yes.
watch this thing and you're like, you think
I like
anything
Tebow.
I've ever said bad about Tim Tebow, I take it all back now.
I've always liked Tebow. Well, actually, that's not true. When he was at Florida winning all those games, I didn't like him. And then when everybody, all the NFL experts got so mad that he was in the league, I went the other way. I was like, well, leave the guy alone. They got so
mad.
He
was a terrible quarterback
in
the NFL.
So Blake Bortles.
No, he was worse than Bortles.
But there have been worse than Tebow. But people made it out like.
Nathan Peterman.
Peterman, right. Yeah. But there are worse. People made it out to be as though Tim Tebow shouldn't have been allowed in the league. Like, it was disrespectful to the league. That's how a lot of them looked at it. And you're like, why not give him a chance? He won a playoff game. He beat the Steelers in the playoffs. That's pretty good. Now he got pants the next week by the Patriots,
yes,
but whatever.
Did.
But still, you won a playoff game. That's more than a lot of quarterbacks can say. But anyway.
He might be the nicest person on the planet.
In the world.
I mean,
he
might be the nicest yes. person. And I'm watching him with these two little boys in these wheelchairs. And, you know, they're racing the wheelchairs around this track they right. built in the backyard for him. And the delight he was taking. And I was thinking, how could I ever think any. Now, the only thing I ever thought bad about Tim Tebow was that he's a terrible quarterback.
Right.
I said, he's the
you're
guy.
You're laying it on a little thick.
Well, he's the guy you want your daughter to come home and say, yes. This is my prom date, Dad. Yeah. And you say, okay, we're good.
Was there a deleted scene on Fixer Uppers where he circumcised both of those boys?
He did not do that, no.
If there was
a deleted scene, they left
Ross,
that out.
What are you talking about? That's what he does. That's one of his specialties. That's on the list of things
he
that Tebow can do.
He doesn't do it.
He circumcises his boys. Well, I mean, only boys. I would imagine.
No, I don't think he does.
Yes, he has. Give that a Google if you get a chance.
I don't think I want to.
No, that is a true story. You guys are looking at me like
he
I got 10 heads.
He doesn't do it himself.
Lucy, you probably wrote an article about it when it happened, right? Tim Tebow. Yes, he does do it himself. Now, I don't know if there's
I
a certain age.
I don't think you're allowed
in his
to.
House?
Yeah, no. Didn't he take a trip to the Philippines? And then he was out there just circumcising guys just all over the place.
Slicing and dicing?
I think he was. Unless it was another Tim Tebow, pretty sure it was him.
I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, and look at Dale's. He's
oh,
efforting right
I
now.
Gotta
he's
know.
Efforting right
research,
now.
Research that. Oh, I can't talk.
Oh, Rossi, please, just do some warm up exercises first. Give me some How Now Brown Cow off the air.
Here you go.
Yeah, see, go ahead.
Football star Tim Tebow helps circumcise Pinoy boys, P-I-N-O-Y. I don't know what that means.
Excuse me?
On a recent week-long trip to the orphanage.
Right.
In Mindanao.
Yeah. Is that just out there?
The Orlando Sentinel reported he helped circumcise Filipino boys
all right, so
during the missionary trip.
There it is.
I don't know exactly
he was involved.
How you assist.
Hold him down.
I feel eight shades of creeped out just even thinking
I'm
about
just
this.
I'm saying, that's what he does. He's a real man of the people.
Research staff is what I was going
there
for.
There it is, Jason. Landed that plane. Thank you. But there you go. So there's now, Dale, you got to pay off this tease about the Rams. You had a dynamite tease, and then what happened?
Well, because we said we think that Sean McVay's this football savant, this genius, can remember every offensive play he's ever called.
Yes.
We've suggested Jared Goff is maybe not the smartest guy in the NFL.
He just has issues.
He doesn't
with
know where the sun rises or sets.
No. Maybe
that seems to be
guy.
Something you kind of know.
It's I think it's
almost
just
automatically.
In you.
Yeah, I mean you grow up knowing it.
East West.
So apparently, Aqib Talib,
love Aqib
now
Talib.
A member of the LA Rams.
Yes, he is.
May have an even dumber take than that.
AFC East, beware.
Okay.
The J-E-T-S.
Oh, yeah.
Jets.
Yeah.
Led by Sam Darnold. And this ball hawking defense, they can win the AFC East.
What? No, they
can get it done. They can legit. They can get it done.
What about that defense? Do you like?
Ball hawks everywhere. True, Claiborne, Lee, President Maul. What's up, baby? My dog. They can get it done. Ball hawks all over the field on defense. and they got a real leader at quarterback. So they can turn things in the AFC East.
I mean, I love listening to Aqib Talib talk.
I do too, of course.
He thinks the Jets can win the AFC East this year.
Is that three ball hawks in there? Did I catch three ball hawks?
More importantly, he's very confident in the quarterback's name.
Led by Sam Darnold.
It was like he was seeing it for the first time. He was like, here, read this. Just say who the quarterback is. You'll like the quarterback.
And they got a real leader at quarterback. So yeah.
They got a real leader quarterback. He has played one game. He did look good. I'll give him that. They're probably the second best team in the AFC East, right?
Ball
you think they're better than
everywhere.
The Dolphins?
I'm not sure if they're better than the Dolphins.
There? Yeah.
I mean, I said, this is the biggest week of overreaction in the NFL.
Oh, of course it
this
is.
This is the week where, you know, it's Matt Patricia sucks. They're going to fire him.
I kind of stand by that.
Sam Darnold and the Jets are suddenly going to win the AFC East.
Rookie
I mean,
of the year.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You completely overreact to week one, positively and negatively. I still think Miami's probably better than the Jets this year.
They could
Sam
be.
Sam Darnold.
Line? Sam Darnold's the quarterback. Well, they got a real leader. And Ballhawks. He said Ballhawks three times. One of the corners for the Jets, and this isn't nice to make
Ball
fun
Hawks
of, but
everywhere.
Morris Claiborne. Remember Morris Claiborne from LSU? I think he was like SEC Defensive Player of the Year. He was an awesome player, right? He was the sixth pick in the 2012 draft. And the only thing I remember about Morris Claiborne, so the Wonderlic is the, you remember the intelligence test.
Did you get to take the Wonderlic at all when you were
No, it wasn't,
at Hobart?
It wasn't required
I would
for
love D3. To. I would love to pull those.
No, it would probably be similar to Morris Claiborne's. Now, the best score you can get is 50, right? 50 is the top score. Do you remember? And I remember. Do you remember what Morris Claiborne got?
I'm wondering what Aqib Talib got.
Morris Claiborne got a 4. Got a 4 on the Wonderlic. And the Wonderlic's one of those times.
It means you can tie your shoes.
Well, barely. Barely. It's a leader. Yeah, he's a leader, all right. He had a 4 on the Wonderlic, and it was one of those ones where, like, I've taken, like, practice Wonderlics or whatever they have, like, online, and it's a timed event, so you don't always answer every question, but some of them are as simple as, like, what's the 5th month of the year? And it's like, you just kind of go quick through it. But that's what I remember about Morris Claiborne. I think the Jets, though, they got to feel really good, even though it's only 1 week, about who they took. But I think it's outrageous for anybody, let alone a current player, to suggest this is the year that one of those teams topples the Patriots. It's just not going to happen. Like, I'm all for a nice piping hot take, Aqib.
Because it's not Wednesday.
It's not Wednesday, so we're off of warm takes. We're back to piping hot. The other 4 days, all piping hot. But that one, like, what's your evidence? Ball-hawking defense? We got Brady and Belichick on the other side.
Let's just play along here. Let's say, for the sake of our argument, that the Patriots begin the season 2-0, beating the Houston Texans at home and the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road. Is Aqib Talib still, you know, hawking how great the New York Jets are and how they're probably going to win the AFC East?
I don't think so. And then the Patriots have Detroit in week 3. That might be Patricia's last game.
That's then not going to be his last game soon.
There's a chance. Then they got Miami in week 4. Then they have the Colts in week 5.
They can get it done. Yeah. Ball hawks all over the field on defense.
They have ball hawks all over the field. So they could zip out to a 5-0 start after we said, and I'm with you. I mean, I'm not giving them the win yet on Sunday. I think that's going to be a really tough game against Jacksonville. But then I just don't see it. Like, the gap has not closed. In fact, I thought going into the year, this was going to be one of the worst AFC East seasons. And I think Buffalo, they're always a threat to go 0-16. At least they are this year. Miami, I think, is 500 at best. And then I think New York, even if Sam Darnold has a good season, I think you're looking at something like a 500 year as well. Like, the Patriots could win the division with 9 or 10 wins.
Yeah, if Sam Darnold and the Jets win 8 games, it's going to be a huge, rousing success.
Yeah, that's a good year for them.
And I think that's probably, like, top of the chart for them.
The Patriots don't play the Jets. It's one of those weird, they bury them, so they don't play them until week 12. That's the first matchup, and then the last game of the season. So Darnold's already going to have a ton of starts under his belt by the time the Patriots face him.
And Darnold will throw 3 interceptions against the Patriots.
Yeah, most likely. The rookie quarterbacks have
rookie
not
quarterbacks
failed,
don't do great against
that well. No, that's true.
And the Patriots' defense, I think, is better than folks thought.
Yeah, I saw Teddy Bruschi, who was on with OMF yesterday. He was tweeting about Juwan
the linebackers.
Bentley. Yeah, saying that this could be a real
shocking
strength.
That Teddy thinks the linebackers
yeah,
will lead the way here.
I know,
but
I saw that. You're like, well, okay. I'm with him to a certain extent. Like, I think if Dante Hightower is healthy and Juwan Bentley continues to play the way that he has, who he had the most snaps amongst linebackers. In fact, front seven guys, he played the most against Houston. So they already trust Bentley. But I think he has already leaped ahead of Van Noy and Roberts. Like, Van Noy and Roberts are nice kind of complimentary players. Well,
you know who Kyle Van Noy is?
Who's that?
He's the, at least the way it sounds, he's the Rob Ninkovich of the current roster.
Ooh, what are you saying?
You know, underrated.
Underrated, yeah.
Always seems to be in the right place at the right time.
Sneaky athletic.
Oh, all the stuff that just drove Ninkovich crazy. Yeah. Isn't that what Kyle Van Noy
is?
He's got
a good motor, right?
Oh, yeah, good motor.
Good, strong motor. Yeah, he could be that guy. And as long as Hightower is out there, you'll take him. But when Hightower goes down and then his responsibility increases, that's when I think you have some of the problems. You know, like he's a good third linebacker, but when he's your number one guy, that's a little bit different story. And by the way, they're not going to be all that tested, I don't think, on Sunday. Like, if you get torched by Jacksonville's offense, that says a lot more about you than I think it does about them.
By the way, you kind of buried the lead on the Morris Claiborne thing.
Yeah, what's that?
He tied Darren Davis of Iowa State for the lowest Wunderlich score ever.
Oh, yeah.
No one's ever done worse.
Four. Because I think, I don't know if it's like the SATs where you get points for your name. Probably, maybe not, but four? Because is there 50 questions or is there 25? I forget what it is. And you just zip through it as quick as you can. You have like a certain amount of time to do it.
I have in front of me the worst Wunderlich scores in NFL scouting combine history.
You know who was terrible for quarterbacks? Was Dan Marino.
I don't have, he's not on this list.
Okay.
So
Vince Young was really bad.
Vince Young has the lowest quarterback score on this. He had a six.
A six.
Frank Gore had a six.
Frank Gore's had a great, he's had like a Hall of Fame career. So
Kelvin Benjamin had a seven. Tavon Austin, seven. Terrell Pryor, seven.
Oof. Where's Vince Young? He was like famous.
Yeah, we just.
Vince Young, six. Don't six. Be afraid to tune into the show.
Yeah, we mentioned it on the program. Vince here Evans. Earlier, just moments ago.
Vince
really.
Evans had an eight.
Vince Evans? I don't know who that is.
Quarterback, USC.
Mm, okay.
So anyway, so Morris Claiborne with his four is tied with Darren Davis, running back of Iowa State, for the lowest Wunderlich score in NFL scouting combine history.
It was falsely reported that Ryan Fitzpatrick got a perfect score of 50. He ended up getting like high 30s, high 40s, or something like that. But I think only like one guy has gotten a perfect score ever. At least at last, my last Wunderlich check.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Darren Davis, by the way, played three seasons in the CFL.
Mm, okay.
That's what that.
They got a wider field up there, which maybe helps.
Just go over there.
Yeah,
way
you're,
over there.
You're
okay.
Fine. Just spread out.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? You talk about Hard Knocks earlier. I know they got that rule against using first year coaches.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been a better Hard Knocks if they did Detroit.
You know what?
Yeah, but you can't do that to a first-year coach.
But next year you could.
Oh, you could.
Mike, what about next year? They're not going to have stuff figured out by then. You could have next year. It could be Patricia's last camp with the Detroit Lions. I'd watch that.
And if they had like a mid-season Hard Knocks, you know, do like they do, like they flex it to like a more interesting team.
They should. I wish they did do regular season Hard Knocks.
Oh, could you imagine coaches would go
they would lose their minds. They would absolutely lose their minds. But, yeah, the Lions would have been a good one.
Haven't we always wanted the NFL to make Bill Belichick do it?
Yes. Although he'd still find a way to give you nothing. Like those meetings in his office. Like, could you imagine him? Now, he does. See,
he does a lot of stuff with NFL films.
I was going to say.
Who he trusts.
Yeah.
But it always comes out, like, long after.
Right. I don't think he would want sort of his.
The immediacy. You know, cut a guy this week, and on Tuesday we're watching it on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, and like you get like Hugh Jackson, for example, this year, him talking about certain players that are on his roster. Bill Belichick's not going to do that. He's not going to want that or those scenes. Or he's probably not going to want to know what some of the other players are saying, even about practice, some of that stuff. Like it just wouldn't fly.
Could you imagine with cameras all around the Patriots, you know, the whole time? And Patriots players are already paranoid about what they can say and what they can't say. I mean, nobody would say anything with those cameras around.
Although maybe it turns into like a Tom versus Time spinoff. Remember, he starts talking to the cameras about certain things that he wants to get into. But, yeah, it's too bad because one of the rules is if you made the playoffs, you don't have to do it. I think like you have the option like not to do it if you made the playoffs. So
because your season's gone
they
late.
Make it every year. And so, no, but I think they also like the idea of sort of like an up-and-coming team too. They usually have not great teams that are doing it.
The NFL must really like it.
I think so. Like, look at the Browns, for
I'm
example.
Not sure.
Like,
I'm not sure Hugh Jackson loves it right now.
No, probably not. Although they had a big tie. They didn't lose the opener.
They did not lose the opener for a first time in a while.
So he is now 1-31-1 as a NFL head coach. Ugh. But I think, yeah, the NFL has to like it because it made the Cleveland Browns interesting. Like, the worst team, the doormat of the league for the last 2 years, people now know some of the personalities on their team. Like, they have, there's more people interested in players on the Browns than any player in Major League Baseball. You're like, oh, I got to know Jarvis Landry a little bit and Baker Mayfield and Myles Garrett and even some of the backups who got cut. Like, I know what their personalities are, whereas I don't know anything about any Major League Baseball player.
I would love to see the Patriots do it. I have a feeling it would be such an epic failure because you see the stuff that they sometimes mic up Belichick on the practice field and stuff, or sometimes on the sidelines for NFL films. It's pretty bland.
You know what? We may see Hard Knocks New England after Brady, Belichick, and Gronk.
Yeah, but it's Josh McDaniels.
I was going to say, year two or three of McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels and Danny Etling.
Yeah, right.
The mini-series.
And you're going to have to watch it to be interested in the team because it's going to be so terrible. So, yeah, maybe you will see it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Noon 30 is coming up in just a few minutes. I have buried the lead. We have free tickets to give away before the show is out as well. I forgot all about that. It is free ticket Thursday within minutes.
How about that?
617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Sometimes, for noon 30 today, by the way, sometimes people...
Happy noon 30,
happy
Dale.
Noon 30 to you too, Keefe. Sometimes people do stuff that I think is actually just designed to make them look like a hardo.
Correct. But they don't want to be a hardo, but
they
for some reason they
want
they
other
think,
people to think they're hardos.
I don't know. They think that this is impressive in some way. I don't know. It's like humble brag, but not really all that humble. I don't know. This is a weird one.
So apparently Mark Wahlberg.
Who, by the way, is like the Boston superfan. Like, he is the guy that is associated with, you know, the Patriots. Even
my dear friend, give it up for Robert Kraft.
Even though Wahlberg left the Super Bowl against the Falcons.
Well,
at
his
halftime,
son was getting
fussy. Oh, he blamed his
fussy.
Son. Blamed his son is what happened there. But so he left the Super Bowl early. And then he's also a big Celtics fan. You see him around there. I don't know about the Red Sox as much. It seems like Patriots and Celtics. But anyway, he had an Instagram post.
Well, he posted on Instagram. This is the typical daily schedule for Mark Wahlberg. Now, I will say this before we dive into this too deeply. Maybe he's training for some movie role where he's got to be, you know, bulked up like Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. So maybe this is what I'm doing right now because I'm getting ready for this role type of thing.
He was good in The Fighter. I enjoyed The Fighter where he played Mickey Ward.
And
he was in great shape for that.
Jacked.
He was ripped.
So he posted his... He says, typical daily schedule.
A typical daily schedule.
2:30 a.m., wake up.
Seems early to me. Seems really early. So you
I mean,
wake
the guys
up,
who do morning drive here at this radio station don't get up at 2:30.
Who gets up at 2:30? I think nobody gets up at 2:30 unless that's your work schedule, unless you're working at like 4 or 3
well, he's
or
got
whatever.
He's got a lot of stuff
all right,
planned.
So he's up at 2:30. I already call kind of shenanigans on this. I don't know if
hey,
it's...
I'm Mark Wahlberg. You guys know me.
Yeah, hi, Mark. 2:30 a.m., good morning.
2:45 a.m., prayer time.
All right, so you got 15 minutes to sort of... You know what I do when I wake up? I sit straight
well, you
up
gotta,
in bed.
You got to go to the bathroom. Yeah. You got to wash your hands.
That's not on the list.
Maybe get a drink of water because you got a few minutes before it's prayer time.
Right, prayer. So he prays at 2:45. All right.
He prays apparently for about half an hour or so, ballpark, because at 3:15 a.m., is breakfast.
Maybe the second most outrageous thing on the entire list. 3:15. Well, so it's pitch blackout. It's 3:15 a.m. And by the way, again, this is not somebody who has the graveyard shift. This is not somebody that, you know, whatever, like this is their schedule or they're a police officer or a doctor, nurse. No, this is an actor who plays pretend. He goes down the screen. Hey, I'm going to pretend to be somebody else for the day. That's what he does. And he's eating breakfast at 3:15.
Well, it's the most important meal of the day.
Is his whole family awake or is he down there making pancakes at 3:15? These kids are trying to sleep and they're smelling bacon. It's ridiculous.
Well, he's got to prepare himself because from 3:40 to 5:15 a.m.
That is very specific.
He has a workout.
3:40 a.m.?
3:40 to 5:15.
So this guy's been up for an hour and 10 minutes. He already prayed
and ate breakfast.
And does then that he works even line out. Up? So do you eat a big breakfast and you're like, I'm going to go work out now?
I can't
I
eat
don't
a
think
bunch.
That makes sense.
So he does his workout.
That's a good amount. 3:40 to
5:15. 3:40 to 5:15.
Right, working out.
5:30 a.m., he has his post-workout meal.
All right, so he's one of these guys that eats a ton of times. Because there's a lot of different diets out there, Dale, and some say eat like 8 meals. And it sounds like he has already eaten 2 meals, and it's 5:30 in the morning. So right. I am still snoozing. I am still fast asleep at 5:30. And this guy's had 2 meals,
so
a prayer, and a workout.
So then at 6 a.m.,
yep.
I might have done this before I eat breakfast, but now he's going to shower.
Oh, so he's really just a sweaty mess while he's eating that post-workout meal. So that's gross. So he showers at 6. So 6 a.m. finally gets in the shower. All right.
All right.
Start the day. I think a lot of people shower at probably 6.
7:30 a.m., golf.
This guy golfs every day?
Well, apparently not long because at 8 o'clock, it's snack time.
Well, maybe out on the course. Maybe you stop, you know, you stop after a couple of holes. You grab a hot dog. Maybe you grab some chips. And you go from there. So he's eating a snack at 8.
And he's got lots of snack time.
So by the way,
built in there.
8 o'clock, he's eating breakfast, a post-workout meal, and a snack. He's like Michael Phelps. He's like, I need to have 8,000 calories a day.
After another, my kids and I, I got a paintball gun. And my sons, they love it. They want to shoot the side of the house. They want to shoot the tree. And they said, Daddy, can we shoot anybody? And I said, well, I'm not going to get shot, but maybe you can ask my friend Big A, who's a tough guy. So he goes, you want to shoot me? Of course. I don't say no to the kids. So we shoot him like 40 times. My kids are laughing hysterically. And then my wife finds out, and she takes my paintball gun.
Okay.
Okay, Big A. We should learn something about Big A.
By the way, 3:30 a.m. breakfast that you were wondering about, or 3:15 a.m. breakfast?
Sharp.
According to him, it's a breakfast of egg whites, sprouted grain, Ezekiel bread, almond butter, and avocado.
Sounds awful. It sounds awful. And I actually like avocado, but that sounds terrible.
So then he says that he golfs at 6 a.m.,
No, 7:30.
Well, no. 7:30. But he's got a 9:30 a.m. cryo chamber recovery. So immediately you're saying, okay, come on. Really?
Now he's in the cryo chamber.
He told Men's Health.
You must be the other guy.
He tells Men's Health magazine, we're usually sprinting pretty much.
The workouts?
The golfing.
Sprinting.
The golf.
Oh, golf.
Yeah, that's the only way he can play golf in that amount of time.
I guess so.
Yeah, how does he play golf in half an hour?
Well, no, he could snack on the course.
Snack on the course.
He could do that.
And take a shower for an hour and a half?
I don't think he takes a shower for an hour and a half.
You want to be super clean, though. And then you get in that cryo chamber. I should probably get a cryo chamber, I think.
Well, because that leads up to the 10:30 a.m. snack.
All right, so he's eating again. So he's back eating at 10:30.
Yeah, see, I don't believe the 90-minute shower. I just think that, you know... Just like the snack eating doesn't take 90 minutes
describes
here.
No, he's got to do it the whole time. Right. Okay.
He's got some other things. So
what else? What's next?
Oh, this is the important thing.
Yes.
11 a.m. He's been up since 2:30.
Okay.
11 a.m. It's family time.
Well, see that.
Well, along with meetings and work calls. So.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, that kind of maybe they all blend together. But Tom Brady can really get on board with that. He's 11 a.m. family time. You work. You know, you hang out with your family. Unless you have work meetings.
It's got family time, work meetings, and work calls.
And then you're talking about other movies.
And then that leads to 1 o'clock lunch.
This guy is just eating all day long. All it is meals. He's had 3 snacks. He's had a post-workout meal. He's had 3 meals. This is his 3rd meal of the day, and it's 1 o'clock.
Now, I will also say this, okay?
I haven't eaten a single thing since last night at 8:30. And I'm not going to eat until like 2:30 today. Not a single thing. I've had coffee and water in that amount of time.
Is that intermittent fasting?
It's not planned, but it is.
That's
the definition of it. That's what it is. That's not what I want to do. It's just what it is.
All right, so let me just say this, okay?
Yeah.
I started this by saying there's got to be some movie thing, because also on his Instagram account, he has a selfie.
Of course.
A nude from the waist up selfie.
I'm sorry?
He is jacked.
Mark Wahlberg's always jacked. He's eating. If you work out 10 times a day and only eat egg whites, I'm guessing you're going to be jacked. This is dedication, though. You woke up at 2:30?
Oh, no, he is obviously preparing for some big movie role.
What's the best movie Mark Wahlberg's ever been in?
Rihanna, Amber, Sabrina, Melody, Dakota, Sierra, Bambi, Crystal Smith, Autumn, Ruby, Taylor, Tara, Tammy, Lauren, Charlene, Chantel, Courtney, Misty, Jenny, Krista, Mindy, Noel, Shelby, Trina, Reba, Cassandra, Casey, Carly, Devin, Emmy, Luke, Becky?
That was pretty good. You got to admit,
Ted, right? Yeah, It's pretty good.
So we got lunch. Then we've got, at 2 o'clock, more meetings and work calls.
Man, this guy just doesn't stop.
3 o'clock, we're going to go pick up the kids at school.
I like that. That's nice. They're out at 3.
Leading into 3:30, snack.
Yeah, grab a snack. Snack time. Must be snack time.
Followed by workout number 2 at 4.
All right, that's just brag city.
Shower at 5.
Guys working out twice a day, showering twice a day.
Dinner family time at 5:30 and 7:30 bedtime.
All right, because that my first question when you see wake up at 2:30, you say, all right, what time is this lunatic going to bed? And then you find out 7:30. That is very early. Why can't you? Here's an idea. Why can't you just kind of move everything? Go to bed at like 9:30, wake up at 4:30. You're getting the same amount of sleep, and you don't have as much of, like, I don't know, a vampire schedule. This is ridiculous.
So let me just run you through the menu options, okay?
Oh, for food?
Because, you know, he...
Go for a snack right about now.
Well, what he eats is pretty specific. He says, and I'm quoting now, I start out with, and people who are just joining us, this is Mark Wahlberg's...
Typical daily
typical
schedule.
Day. And I'm telling you, this is for some big movie role. Oh. He says, I start out with steel oats, blueberries, and peanut butter for breakfast.
I like blueberries and peanut butter. Not necessarily together, but...
Then I have a protein shake, 3 turkey burgers, 5 pieces of sweet potato at about 5:30 in the morning.
He's Michael Phelps. He's like putting on as much, eating as much calories as possible.
At 8 o'clock, I have 10 turkey meatballs.
This guy's just full of turkey.
At 10:30 a.m., I have a grilled chicken salad with 2 hard-boiled eggs, olives, avocado, cucumber, tomato, and lettuce.
That actually sounds delicious.
1 o'clock, I have a New York steak with green peppers.
Shut up. Every day at 1 o'clock, he's eating a New York steak.
3:30 p.m., I have grilled chicken with bok choy.
So chicken, turkey, steak. All right.
5:30 to 6, I have a beautiful piece of halibut or cod or a sea bass with
beautiful
some vegetables,
piece, huh?
Maybe some sautéed potatoes and bok choy. I have a lot of aqua hydrate during the day.
Good, 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 good.
That's it.
Also, go back to the just circle back for a second, Dale. The protein shake, you think that would pass Olympic testing? You think that would pass, your standard testing? Something tells me there's not a lot of testing in Hollywood. That's all I'm going to say.
By the way,
it really matters what they're doing.
It's not bad enough that he gets up at 2:30 to do this. He makes his gym trainers and personal chef all join him.
Ugh,
they're
terrible.
Called the 4 a.m. Club. They're down there, and he's got
the
you
4
know,
a.m. Club.
Videos of.
I would not want to be a part of that club. 4 a.m.? I haven't seen 4 a.m. in maybe ever.
By the way, he needs a chef.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at all these snacks.
Blueberries and peanut butter.
Blueberries and peanut butter. That one you kind of roll out yourself, maybe. But I'm sure, you know, these rich and famous people want everything done for them. So I'm sure that guy has to pick out the right blueberries.
Yeah, I don't know what movie he's preparing for, but
so he's eating,
it's obvious that's what he's doing.
So every day he's eating 3 turkey burgers, 10 turkey meatballs, a piece of steak, a beautiful piece of halibut, and then
or cod,
and all these other snacks. It seems a little outrageous. By the way, my favorite movie that he was in is probably Boogie Nights. And then maybe close second would be Fear. Remember Fear?
That was good. I like that
one. Mr. Walker.
So you got Mark Wahlberg with his workout regimen, okay? And that leads me into...
I'm going to do my typical daily schedule. I'm going to tweet that out.
Do that, would you? Because
yeah, I have
another IPA followed by half an hour on the video game.
Yeah. I'll tweet that out in the break. That's
so
what I'll do.
Over 2 doors down here, the Bruins begin training camp. They had their off-ice testing today.
Ooh.
So Joe McDonald tweets this out, and he says, fans are wondering how many pull-ups Zdeno Chara did. Because in the past, he's routinely reached into the high 30s with pull-ups. Which, by the way, is freaking insane. He weighs 255 pounds. So today, he did 16 pull-ups. That was it.
What happened? Weak?
They changed it up a bit this season. They made them do weighted pull-ups.
Oh, God.
They added 62 pounds to Zdeno Chara.
Why?
He weighs 255.
Why are you putting that on there?
They added 62 pounds of weight to
him.
And
he did 16 pull-ups with all that crap on him?
16 pull-ups.
That's
with
ridiculous.
62 extra. So
Mark Wahlberg just heard that. He's like, I'll do 70 extra pounds. You're like, all right, calm down, Mark. It's fine. Don't worry about it. That's ridiculous. For a guy that size, too, and with, like, the long arms to be able to do pull, like, it's just, it's nuts. You
so
see that video of him climbing the rope the other day?
317 pounds is what he was hiking up 16 times in the pull-up bar.
And what is he, 42?
41.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Pretty good.
So go ahead, Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. Top that if
good
you can.
Good luck.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. So we've talked about, you know, the approaching NHL season. Bruins have half their team in China, half their team here. Bruce Cassidy's in China with half the squad, half is here. The NBA season is lurking on the horizon as well. And Sports Illustrated has come out with their list of the 100 best players in the NBA.
Yeah, so they did top 100 players of 2019. So it's sort of like the NFL Network when they do their top 100, and it's really more kind of projecting.
Right.
Like, it takes last year, but it's also sort of
what they think is going to happen this year.
Yeah, what they think is going to happen. And I don't know if all 100 – oh, no, they have. Because they were doing it in parts. So they did 100 through 51, then 50 through 31, then 30 through 11, and then they did – their top 10. So the whole list is out. They rank players 100 all the way down to 1. The Boston Celtics, maybe not a surprise, have 6 players in the top 100. So as low as Terry Rozier is number 82, which I guess is fine.
Seems woefully low to me.
Yeah, the Scary Terry people are all fired up about it, but that might even be high. But anyway, he's clocking in at number 82. Jaylen Brown, 47. Jason Tatum, 39. Gordon Hayward, 25. And here's where I have the biggest issue.
Uh-oh.
Well, there's two. Number 17, Kyrie Irving. Number 16, Al Horford.
Ooh.
Now, what are we doing here? Like, what planet are
well,
we on?
Well, come on.
It doesn't make any sense.
Average all, Al is not average.
There's a lot wrong there. So, first of all, Al Horford is not the 16th best player in the NBA, and he's also definitely not better than Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving is incredibly low. What this is this, it's a LeBron bias. The league and everybody who writes and covers the league loves LeBron so much, and he's good. He's great. Great player. I get why they love him. But then they disrespect the other guys. So, like, that just to me goes back to when he won a title with Kyrie Irving. That was more, it was LeBron. Like, it was LeBron that did it. And that's why they were so quick to dismiss him when he left. And then when he was up to that start that they were on, they started to have to change their tune. But then ultimately he got hurt. And now they're back to everything is all about LeBron, who, no surprise, is number one on this
list. And should be.
But Kyrie Irving is a top 10 player in the NBA. And they're talking about for next season. So for this upcoming season, he's in a great spot. He was a top 10 player last year before he got hurt. He's still in the prime of his career. So I don't understand. Like, he's not a top 5 player. He's not better than Durant or Curry. Probably not even James Harden or Anthony Davis. But he deserves to be in the top 10. I think he's better than Chris Paul is. I think right now he's better than Joel Embiid or Jimmy Butler, who are all top 10 on this list, which I think is outrageous. But then they completely overrank Al Horford.
We're dumping on a guy who's a five-time. Right. Think about
that. Oh, my God. Stop talking about five-time All-Star.
Just
first
listen to the
eight
words.
Years ago.
Because it's not getting through your head, Keith.
Five-time
listen
All-Star. So
words.
That's the end of the conversation? Yes, a five-time All-Star?
A
no, it shouldn't.
That.
No, it
because
shouldn't.
The whole narrative is Al is average. Of course he's
not. I'm
not
saying he's
average.
I'm not saying he's average.
Five-time All-Star.
Oh, my God. A five-time All-Star. We get it. So Al Horford, who averaged 12.9 points, 7.4 rebounds, 4.7 assists. Now, I know there's a lot of nerd numbers out there that are more like, oh, those are just the basic stats. Okay, fine. But points, rebounds, assists, that's what he had. And the write-up for Horford, they say, Horford is a patron saint of the top 100 in that he embodies so many of the attributes we tend to value highly. He plays both sides of the ball without condition and in a way that makes everyone around him better. His game is both reliable enough to anchor a team and versatile enough to allow for changes on the fly. He fits the modern game. Nothing in Horford's style or skill set would make him a target in a playoff series. What? If anything, his incredible basketball literacy would poke holes in opponent's game plan in real time. The way he plays upholds a standard, and the way he carries himself can establish a culture. Horford exudes a winning effect. He was one of the most important players in the entire league last season, and this ranking reflects that.
Did Drapes write this?
He must have. Yeah, yep. Kyle Draper.
Oh, there you
wrote
go.
This. It just, I don't understand. I think he is the fourth most important player on the roster, let alone the number one and 16th in the league. I'm glad he's on the team. He's a good player. He's almost he's like a really good role player in a sense. Like, you want him on your team. He's not going to hurt you. But if you don't have Kyrie Irving or Gordon Hayward or Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, I don't know how far you're going to go with just Al Horford.
So the Celtics have just released a statement regarding Jabari Bird. For people who haven't heard the story, Jabari Bird was arrested over the weekend. He was charged with several hideous things, including domestic violence.
Oh, yeah.
Asphyxiation, for lack of a better term, choking this person, kidnapping. He was under observation at a local hospital, but apparently will be making a court appearance today for his arraignment. The Celtics have put out a statement about Jabari Bird, and I'm quoting directly. "Most importantly, our thoughts are with the victim of this incident. The Celtics organization deplores domestic violence of any kind, and we are deeply disturbed by the allegations against Jabari Bird. Pursuant to domestic violence policy in the NBA's labor agreement, matters of this kind are handled by the league office, not the team, and so the Celtics will be working with both the league and local authorities to assist in their ongoing investigations. The team will have no further comment at this time."
So he's still on the team?
I don't know if they can, because apparently these things are now handled by the league, and the league may be saying, look, back off until we finish looking this thing over.
No, you can cut a guy at any time, I would think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, and again, I understand you want to make sure that you get all the information necessary, because in these cases, I don't know if they know all the facts just yet. So if it finds out that he didn't do anything wrong, then you don't want to cut him for nothing. However, it doesn't seem to be going in that direction. I don't know. I'm surprised that he is. And let's be honest, Jabari Bird is the 15th player on the roster. He's not the first. And whether or not that really should factor in, it usually does. Like, if this was a more valuable player on the team, you would see why they would want to stick by him. But the guy that barely made the roster going through this, I'm surprised that they're sticking with him, to be honest.
And at least for the moment, I question how long that will continue. Now, the National Hockey League had a domestic violence allegation. A guy by the name of Austin Watson is his name. He was arrested back in July, I guess. He was arrested in June. In July, he pleaded no contest to misdemeanor domestic violence. He was arrested. He was allegedly, well, not allegedly, he pled no contest. He struck his girlfriend outside a Shell station in Tennessee, plays for the Nashville Predators. He was released on $4,500 bond, sentenced to 3 months probation, including an inpatient program for alcohol and substance abuse, 26 weeks of batterer intervention. Well, the NHL yesterday suspended him for all of preseason and the first 27 games of the regular season without pay.
How do they land on 27 games? Because the NHL does not have
a domestic violence policy.
They're
the
only one.
Gary Bettman throwing a dart at a number board or something.
So they go case by case there. But that is, because wasn't the Colorado goalie a couple of years ago?
The defenseman Slava Voynov for the Kings as well, who's gone from the league.
Right. But so 27 games, you saw that and you're like, well, what is this? Is this their policy? But then you're like, oh, no, they don't even have one.
They literally don't have one. They're the only professional league that does not have a domestic violence policy. Gary Bettman said today's ruling, while tailored to the specific facts of this case and the individuals involved, is necessary and consistent with the NHL's strongly held view that it cannot and will not tolerate this and similar types of conduct. He had an in-person hearing with the league on September 7th. The NHLPA is going to appeal this, but I think it's like boilerplate. You almost have to, because the Predators have even said, we understand completely.
Right.
He forfeits $362,195 of his $1.1 million salary. As far as I know, Nashville is not cutting this guy or releasing him.
I wonder if this will, because now all of a sudden you've gotten a handful of examples now. So I wonder if they will put in a policy, or maybe in the next CBA they'll have one in hockey.
I will say this about the Celtics statement, which they released just a few minutes ago. It's the first time I can remember seeing a statement like this begin with the victim.
Yeah, so I mean,
start with the
Ohio State.
Our thoughts are with the victim of this incident.
Right. That's what it should do. And so that's how they start. But, I wonder what the future of Jabari Bird is on this team and in the NBA. We'll see.
I can't believe he'll be on this team.
I don't think so either, but he still is.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to the calls with you guys in just a few minutes. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.